With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this first Sunday in Lent, our hymns are 521, 655, and 544. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is entitled God's First Encounter with Fallen Man, taken from Genesis 1, verses 21. Welcome, and may our Lord bless our worship this morning. We invite you to sing with us as we sing our opening hymn this morning, hymn number.
Great come to us for all the guests and visitors we have with us who are here in relationship with the students here, and I for all the gifts and talents that our Heavenly Father has blessed you with. We are so thrilled that you are here to share your gifts with us during the service. Other than that, we begin with our opening hymn, number 521, verses 1, 3, and 4. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ on us, lasting life. Dear friends, for his sake, for Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, amen. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. For when I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. You are a hiding place for me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated, and I invite the singing saints to join me up here.
Yeah. We try to find.
Old Testament reading comes from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So to the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 5. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin was not counted where there was no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, but by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." This is the word of the Lord. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess the Christian faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. Church, the rest, amen. You may be seated. Peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, throughout human history, God has revealed to us his eternal nature. In fact, the Bible is full of stories that reveal him as an eternal God, and it has pleased him to make this specific attribute known. And beyond just being eternal, though, he goes on to show that through it all, throughout all of eternity, he even remains the same. He's never changed, and he is always consistent. God is the eternal constant throughout all time and space. In the book of Malachi, he says, "I am the Lord, I do not change." In Hebrews, he says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." In both James and in the book of Numbers, he says, "There's no change in his being nor in his thoughts." And lastly, even though the list could go on and on, he says from the burning bush, "I am that I am. I am the substance of being. I'm eternal, and I do not change." If that was all we knew about God, that actually wouldn't be very encouraging. If all we knew about God was that he's eternal and doesn't change, that's not necessarily a good thing. It's not inherently good news, because, in fact, he could have been eternally angry at us. He could have been vengeful or indifferent, or he could have been entirely, eternally disinterested in you. And if that was the case, there would be absolutely nothing we could do. There'd be nothing you could offer him, nothing would be able to change his mind, and nothing you do could cause him to notice you, because God is who he is. But it's in light of this teaching that I want to go over our Genesis reading for this morning. Because it's here that God is going man. The Garden of Eden is this crossroads of human history. For what God does here in Genesis is going to lay out and of God's sinner attitudes towards fallen man. And the way he aimed for every subsequent person, it will be the same for how he responds to you and me and all other people on earth. For in Adam, all of us have fallen into sin. And no matter how bad or how good you think you are, their sin, it was no more and no less trivial than ours. For we share in the same guilt. In our hearts and in the minds of man, the ancient serpent has planted a seed of deception. The father of lies has placed in every man the same question, tempting Eve to view God as selfish and overly restrictive. Talking about the fruit of the tree, Satan says, "You will not surely die, but rather on the day you eat of it, you will be like God." And right then and there enters an itch in the back of your mind. It's a lingering thought and a blasphemous doubt that perhaps God is not giving me his best. Perhaps he is holding back blessings, and we start questioning that maybe God is not acting in our best interest. That's the same temptation that lies within all of our hearts this morning. Every sin born in our hearts can be traced back to this origin, that God is somehow holding goodness back. That because of his restrictions, because of his law, because of what he says we can or cannot do, or because of our perceived lack of possessions and material goods, we conclude that somehow we are missing something. We can look in the world and we can look in ourselves and we know that something's missing. We must be lacking something more and better, and so we naturally conclude that we must take action into our own hands. If God is holding blessings back, if he's not providing me with everything that's good, then of course I must lie and I must steal to get what I need. If God is holding back from me greater happiness or greater satisfaction, then I must look elsewhere for that also. I must look to relationships. I must look to other people, and I must look to games or other hobbies. And again, if God is holding back from me greater security, then I must look elsewhere for that. Again, looking to relationships or perhaps bank accounts or to good health. Since we don't truly love and trust in God above all things, how easily it is that we are persuaded. If God isn't going to provide me with all goodness, then we will immediately look elsewhere. Without skipping a beat, we will search for other things to give us this happiness, this security, and this purpose and satisfaction. The first sin was born from the belief that God is not giving you his best, and that we so often fall ourselves. That's where we fall. And what a massive insult that is to Almighty God. How unbelievably offensive is that? We do not truly believe that God is good. Can we truly say that God does not have our best intentions in mind? Of course, regardless of what we're facing, God is working all things together for our good. He has given us his beloved Son. How will he not also graciously give us all things? And yet that is not how we live or act. I'm sure none of us would say it out loud, but our actions suggest that we don't fully believe it. We don't fully trust our whole heart. That's how people have behaved since the very beginning. The same temptation that fall upon Eve continues today, lying in the back of our minds, waiting and itching, not making itself fully known, but certainly it remains. For every sin is born from not having an accurate understanding or belief about God. It's born from either not trusting him or not loving him. And every sin, therefore, is a direct attack and a rebellious action against the Lord. For this is how David could confess in the Psalms, "Against you only, Lord, have I sinned." Every sin might as well be a slap to his face. It's an attack on the very character of God. And yet, even after what was essentially cursing his word, curse, and he does not strike back. What he did those many years ago was that he acted in perfect grace. And the beautiful thing is that God is the same yesterday to eternally being outpoured upon sinful man. God has his first encounter with sinners, and we immediately see him walking upon the earth. There is no break in the story. Right after Adam ate of the fruit, God is immediately seen walking in the cool of the day, and he's calling out to them. I'm almost certain that you could hear the heartbreak in those words calling, "Where are you? What have you done?" The all-knowing God calls out to Adam, inviting him to show himself forward. He invites him back into his presence. God went searching for that first sinner, and although the sinners fled from his presence, God goes on searching, and he pursues them, and he finds them hiding in the midst of the trees. As man flees from God's presence, God restores them. He makes them stand, and he clothes them. With animal skins, he covers their nakedness, and he makes a pledge that he is going to make all things right again. A Savior is going to come, and there is going to be a Redeemer. The seed of the woman, in fact, will restore all these good things. He will make things perfect as he crushes Satan's power under his foot, and he gives life and salvation to man. He will forgive sins, and he will clothe the people again, but this next time, not just with animal skins, but with the perfect righteous robe of Christ. And all this he has done already for you through the work and person of Jesus Christ. For he also walked upon this earthly ground, and he too came to walk among another garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. But this time, as he walked, he took up the sin of the world upon himself, and he carried it upon his shoulders and upon his back, and he brings it to the cross, and he crucifies the sin and the guilt on your behalf. And he does all of this in order to call people back to life. He pays for their sins and forgives them, and he does this all while constantly, continuously calling out, "Where are you?" And here he has found you this morning. He has brought you here today so that you may hear his voice calling out to you through his word, proclaiming an earnest certainty that you are forgiven. He's calling to you so that you would receive the loving kindness from his hands, and so that you would know with absolute certainty that God is giving you his best in Jesus Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Thank you.
Thank you. Elijah Rock, shout, shout. Elijah Rock, coming up Lord. Elijah Rock, shout, shout. Elijah Rock, coming up Lord. Shout, shout, Elijah Rock, coming up, Lord. Elijah Rock, shout, shout, Elijah Rock, coming up, Lord.
Congregation, please stand. Let us pray. Gracious Father, you endlessly show your love throughout our generations, and you are constantly pouring out your mercy upon fallen man. As it pleased you to show mercy upon Adam, you long and desperately desire to show mercy towards all of your chosen people. Create in us a faith that clings to your word and trusts in your promises. And when trials and tribulations fall upon us, lead us to trust in you that your work, all things for our good. And ultimately, Lord, help us to see that in Christ we possess all that we need and more. In Christ we are partakers of the eternal riches of God. Lord, in your mercy. And merciful God, we thank you for the ministry of the singing saints as they continue to share their gifts with people and congregations. We ask that you would use their ministry for the building up of your kingdom. We pray that you continue to lead the choir director, Girodi, and the other teachers and staff at St. Paul's High School. As they nature these kids in mind, body, and spirit, we pray for your guidance, your strength, and wisdom, and love. And Lord, we lift up to you this morning the singing saints, along with all of our children who are here this morning. We ask and trust that you would guide them into all truth and pour out your spirit upon them and create in them a holy fear, love, and trust towards you. We ask that you keep them safe and secure in their faith, trusting that they are saved by grace in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. The great physician, we lift before you all who are in need and struggling through the difficulties of this fallen world. With the fall of man, death and evil came into this world. As they were not originally part of your beautiful and good creation, we ask, Lord, that according to your gracious will, you would curb the effects of evil. Look after your children and loved ones from the coronavirus. Work through the use of government policies and doctors to help mitigate and spread the death toll of the virus. We also lift before you Lola, who is battling against cancer in her neck and lungs, and for Tommy Mapes as he struggles with other serious health complications. Lord, we ask you to give them strength and peace that surpasses all understanding. And as they fight on, surround them with loving friends and godly family. And ultimately, Lord, we ask that you would bring them back to new strength, to the praise and worship of you. We also lift before you all who are on our prayer list this morning, including Pat, Lois, Carol, Ronnie, Melissa, Neil, Connie, Dorenda, John, Mike, and Debbie. Holy Lord, we ask that you would heal and protect all these, your saints, according to your gracious will. Lord, in your mercy. Trusting in your promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn 540.